Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Spirit-filled saints of the early church personally and congregationally carried out their faith with a holy boldness that could not be stopped. Remarkably, a vast majority of them, including the apostles, were considered by the religious elite of the day as being unlearned and ignorant. However, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon someone, they are no longer ordinary. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 8.
Jesus says, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He says, but you shall receive power, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll go back there, but that's okay. This is the second service. You got lots of time. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Upon, there's that word, upon, hapi. You recall how in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to his hometown synagogue, and he is given the scroll of Isaiah, correct? Remember that? He's given the scroll of Isaiah. And he opens it to Isaiah 61:1, which was a messianic prophecy that he fulfilled. But he said, listen carefully, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, same word as Acts 1:8, to preach the gospel to the poor and all of these other things. You follow me? Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, in John chapter 20, the risen Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And he breathed on them. It says, receive the Holy Ghost. Same phraseology that is used in Genesis chapter 2 when God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Those disciples, see, the Holy Spirit was not given because Christ was not glorified. They're born again. So here they are assembled, and he says, don't leave Jerusalem until you are anointed, filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus said some remarkable, well, it doesn't sound very pastoral. How many remarkable things did Jesus say in the Bible that we just added out? Can I give you a scripture that I love hearing people argue about? No, I don't love hearing them argue about it. I'm kind of like bewildered. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, to the apostles in the upper room that he's going to send out to preach the gospel. He says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. He didn't tell them, the works that I do shall you do. Yes, they would. He said, he that believes on me, he whom you share the gospel with, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll just study the works that Jesus did. I've lost 50% of you right now. Just blown your theological thinking. Well, at the end of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, we made reference to it, said in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. Of course, that is true, right? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, the emphasis is on the belief, not the baptism, shall be saved. Because by the Spirit, we're baptized into the body of Christ. He says, and these signs shall follow apostles. Who do they follow? Now, we don't chase them. We're not governed by them. He says, those that believe on me, these are the kind of things that you're going to see happening in their life. Right? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, there's some crazy things that have been done in those names, those things, but point is, the Lord is saying to you and me that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he will give us the power and the ability to function in the supernatural in a very natural way. You see, we tend to think we're gathered here this morning, Sunday morning, and you and I have these talents and abilities that God's given to us. And so what happens is that when the worship band starts, lights, camera, action. You know where these gifts are used 95% of the time, if not more? outside of these four walls, where you live, where you work, in your neighborhood, where you go to school, wherever you find yourself surrounded by people who don't know Jesus Christ. Now, you read Acts 16, 15 through 18, and that's exactly what you find happening throughout the book of Acts. And there are many miracles that are done after these writings, because God is still a miracle-working God. What you and I call a miracle is just another day at the office for the living God, so to speak. Amen? So, he tells them, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, they're putting together some Old Testament teaching. Oh, that's it. You're going to set up the kingdom now. You're going to restore you're going to grant all of the promises that God made to the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob now. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Pause. The disciples are thinking in messianic terms. They're thinking in terms of Christ setting up the kingdom now as a political figure, so to speak, establishing and fulfilling all of the promises that God gave to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, it's not for you to know. Jesus didn't say, it's not going to be done. He says, I'm not going to do it now. You simply don't know when God is going to do it. So we see here that there is a difference in Scripture, a distinction in Scripture of God's plan for the nation of Israel, God's plan for the church. Eventually, all believers end up together, but there is a different plan. And if you don't understand the plan, you will be in a prophetic jungle. I like the fact that Jesus did not answer the apostles' question concerning the precise time when God would restore the kingdom to Israel. He said, it's not for you to know. Are you the kind of person that has to know and understand everything? Do you? I know people like that, brilliant minds. By faith we understand. Explain to me, in the beginning, God. Write it out for me. Give me a bullet point Bible study, how he created something out of nothing. I remember an older pastor, one of the ones who was very vital in my early days, telling me, Raymond, read the Bible, and if you believe the first four verses, you won't have a problem with anything else that's said anywhere else in the Bible. You won't have a problem with the miracles. You won't have a problem with the supernatural. You won't have a problem with Balaam talking. You won't have a problem explaining when God says that demons are going to come out of a bottomless pit. People ask me, do you think the demons are going to come out of a bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9? Of course. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Those aren't symbolic demons. What, have you lost your mind? Was that a symbolic flood? A symbolic ark? A symbolic creation? A symbolic judgment of Egypt? Those are all supernatural works of God. I believe everything. He says, do I understand it all? No, I just believe it. Woo. I'm getting hot flashes. It's not for you to know. Now, praise God. I have friends that have a mind that is so, that I envy. I'm confessing it publicly. How do they think like this? These guys that are scientists and all. It's not for you to know. We see through a glass darkly. And there's a lot of scripture that we simply cannot understand intellectually. But just let the scripture breathe. Let it say what it says, and let the critics say that the Bible contradicts itself. It doesn't. So, here's the point. That was kind of like the intro. Here's the point. Here's the takeaway for you and me. As important as Bible prophecy is, as exciting as it is to know that there is the potential in your life and in my life to be used by God, to be an agent in and through a miracle takes place, and God still does miracles. You know, the greatest miracle is what? In my opinion, the new birth. Look at us. Look at who we were and now who we are. Pray, that's a miracle. You are a walking miracle. But what it was the main point? He says, as important as it is, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in East Rochester and in Penfield and in Colorado and wherever you are. You will be a witness unto the uttermost and the guttermost parts of the earth. You'll be a witness. As important as it is to see Bible prophecy unfolding, as wonderful as it is to be used by the Lord or having experienced a miracle of God. How many of you, just to encourage me, have experienced a miracle of God? A physical miracle, an emotional miracle. You know, when you experience the power of God, don't give me the how-to book. Don't give me the how-to book. God, whew. You see those hands? Miracles? Yeah. Only the power of God can deliver someone who's addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of other things for X amount of years and then turn them right around. That's only the power of God. That's not a rehab. I've gotten myself in trouble before, and I do have great respect for the medical community, and I thank God for medical communities and all of that and, you know, rehab centers. But I've gotten myself in trouble for saying this. The gospel is a one-step recovery program. You get to Jesus, he comes in you, and change will begin to happen. Sometimes immediately, sometimes progressively, but it always happens. So what is he saying? You receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, people are thinking, oh, that's the apostles. Well, read through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of Stephen, there was persecution in Jerusalem. Now, the Lord said you're going to go from Jerusalem to Judea. So the apostles stayed there, and those that were scattered in Acts chapter 4 by the persecution that took place, they went everywhere. They, you, me, not the pastor, not the preacher, not the evangelist. They went, you, me, went everywhere preaching the gospel. You know the word preach means in Strong's Concordance? It means to publish. It means to proclaim. It means to herald the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ by issuing the summons to repent and receive remission of sins. Now, when we are given the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, praise God for his armor. What's on your feet? Your feet is to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what's supposed to be the message that you bring to bear. Okay. In the gospel of Luke chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 13, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all them that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. Except you repent, you shall all perish. You know what's going on here? These people are saying to Jesus, have you read the headlines? Did you ever hear what happened here? He goes, yeah. Well, what do you think? If you don't repent, you're going to perish. What did he do? He gave them the most important message, the gospel. Ding! You know what he's saying? You may be the one who is in danger. Maybe they didn't hit you like it hit me. You know, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And because we fear God, there are things that we hate with a godly, righteous hatred. As important as it is for you and I to take the biblical stand for righteousness when it comes to pro-life or the biblical teaching on marriage and gender and creation, all of that is important. All of that is critical. We must stand, but we need to understand that the only message that can give a person a new life and a change of heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the primary message. I was uncharacteristically journeying through the internet this week. I don't like to go there. Now I know why they used to call it the World Wide Web. It will strangle you. It will do everything that it can to cause you not to believe what you believe. But I did find something interesting. Did you know that when our country made the decision to bomb Hiroshima for 10 days, leaflets were dropped out of airplanes warning people to flee? And I found this document called the LeMay leaflets. It said this: read this carefully, as it may save your life or the life of a relative or friend. In the next few days, some or all of the cities named on the reverse side will be destroyed by American bombs. These cities contain military installations and workshops of factories which produce military goods. We are determined to destroy all of the tools of the military clique which they are using to prolong this useless war. But unfortunately, bombs have no eyes. So, in accordance with America's humanitarian policies, the American Air Force, which does not wish to injure innocent people, we now give you warning to evacuate the cities named to save your life. Pastor Ray, why did you read that? I'll tell you why. Because, beloved, there's a day coming to this planet. And when Christ returns on that white horse and pours out his wrath, with all due respect, whatever happened at Hiroshima is going to be like a Boy Scouts picnic. You know and I know that there's a death sentence on every single human being who is born. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus said, you receive power. Now, some people think flex, you know, MMA or, you know, lifting heavy weights, receive power. Recall in one of my visits to India, Mr. Puna was a part of our congregation, Monte Domingo. And after a Bible study, I told Monte, let's arm wrestle. I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, so can I. Jesus didn't say you will witness. He says you'll be witnesses. In other words, things will happen in your life, in my life, in a naturally supernatural way to impact others. That's why God has you living where you live, working where you work, in the family that you are in the family of. I want you to be a witness there. No, I'd be a better witness if I lived where Jose lived. I'd be a better witness if I had Frank's family. You don't know my family. My family are the weird Italians. We always think that we're going to be better if we're somewhere else. No. No. Because wherever you are, you're going to be there. If you're a grump here, you're going to be a grump there. Grouch here, grouch there. Critical here, critical there. People that move from New York to Florida, now it's too hot. So pick. Yeah, well, all right, I'm getting off. What's the takeaway? The takeaway is that you and I are called to be witnesses. And we find portions in this book where we find the word we, beginning in chapter 16, then chapter 20, then chapter 21, then chapter 27, verse 1 through the end of the book. And this is Dr. Luke with Paul giving eyewitness accounts of how God moved. Isn't it interesting that we serve a God that heals? He's traveling with a man who was given from time to time the gift of healing, and yet he brought a doctor with him. Go figure. Great. So, next time I go overseas, I'm going to bring Dr. Andrew and Dr. Diana and Dr. You guys come with me. In case God doesn't supernaturally heal me, you can give me a prescription. Is that a contradiction? No, that's full gospel. Witnesses. You know the Greek word for witness? I'm almost done here. Almost. Is martus, where we get the English word martyr. Jesus says, you will receive power. You will receive power to be my witness. You know, the number one impediment to the gospel being proclaimed in my life is me. It's not the world. It's not the devil. Because I can tend to be afraid. You don't. But I need God's Spirit and I need God's power. And the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John is called the Comforter. But the Greek word comes from the Latin fortis, which means to be brave. When you come to faith in me, I'm going to send another one who will give you the courage to be my witness. I need him. Because apart from him, you know what? Here's what I can do. Nothing. I can make a lot of noise, but I can do nothing significant. And so as we work our way through the book of Acts, my prayer, and I ask you to join me, is that God would so transform us as we go through every chapter and every verse that we would allow him to speak to us. That this book, which is God's blueprint for how the church is to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit under the lordship of Jesus Christ, what we have in here was not just for the church of the first century, was for you and me until the gospel is preached to the uttermost parts of the earth. I said at the outset, and I've seen it in my own, I've seen it in your lives and in my own too, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, the most unlikely people become fountains of boldness and power. Look at the people that God wants to use to transform this world. Look around. You're not looking. Help me out here. I'm looking at you and all you are looking at me going, yeah. Oh, it's got to be the Lord. Amen. It's got to be the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh
my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question?
Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.